Welcome to the NatureVac podcast, where this season we are talking about Web3 and the green economy. My name is Tarmo Virki, and today I'm speaking with Rob Cobalt from Beach Collective. Welcome, Rob, to NatureVac.
Thanks very much. Very nice to be here.
To start off, tell us a few words about what is Beach Token. What are you guys doing? Is it related to Beach?
Yeah, it's certainly related to the Beach. So Beach Token is the native currency of the Beach Collective, and we're a blue circular economy platform. Really, the platform is powered by two pieces of technology. One is Beach Token, the currency. And Beach Token is a currency which internalizes the health of the planet into every single transaction. So we have this concept in economics that we externalize harm to the natural world. Obviously, it's a misnomer. There are no externalities. We are the natural world. We grew out of it. And so it's really bringing that back. And almost like there's these old beliefs that whatever you take, you give something back to the earth. It's kind of that same principle, right? Every time you use this currency, and it's really designed for everyday transactions, we're giving a tiny little bit back to the earth. Not only that, but the emissions of a Beach Token transaction are lower than the emissions of a Visa or MasterCard payment as well. And the fees we take are lower as well. So that's technology number one. Technology number two is a social media platform, which rather than all our current platforms, which are designed to maximize ad revenue, and they come with all the unintended consequences and problems that we see and know very well. We designed a social media platform which is really intended to incentivize and reward planet-friendly behaviors by both individuals and organizations. Really, those two types of incentives, basically your wallet and your reputation, are the most powerful incentive systems humans respond to. And so if we're going to shift the behavior of 8 billion people, we need to design those things consciously rather than just letting the markets decide whichever social media platform is going to make the most money, and who cares what happens to society or the planet.
Exactly. How did it start? What was the beginning point?
So one of our founders, CT, he had a previous iteration of this. In the previous iteration, which was called Earth, we started with the social media platform first, designed this very beautiful social media platform, but then struggled to attract users or struggled also to attract investment. And we realized it actually was smarter to do it the other way around, launch the currency first, which we did it for fortuitous time because the markets were going crazy. Then you raise immediately masses of money to spend on clean oceans and blue carbon initiatives. And then you build the social platform afterwards and create spaces for people to earn and spend this currency in a more organic way.
How it has taken off? I mean, you said you launched at the worst possible time, or?
No, we launched at a good time.
Oh, sorry.
When the crypto markets were going crazy. I mean, obviously the crypto markets since then have gone downhill a bit, but to be completely honest, we're not that worried about the price at the moment. All these cryptocurrencies launch and then they, try and pump the price with a whole load of hype, and then surprise, surprise, it's hype. So the bubble bursts. Whereas we are far more interested in being treated and used as a currency. It's all about creating opportunities for people to earn and spend the currency like you'd earn and spend any other currency. And that, of course, takes time. And we are, we're far more keen to do it right rather than rush it and, go down the wrong path. So it's going very well. The social media platform is launched. The currency is fully functioning. We've also launched a piece of technology called Beach Pay, which basically allows you to transact this currency with anybody else anywhere in the world. And the beauty is that you don't even need a crypto wallet to earn or spend the currency, which is quite an unusual innovation in the Web3 space, and basically means that the currency is therefore a viable means of exchange for billions of people who wouldn't normally have access to crypto markets just because they lack the digital access or the know-how or whatever it is.
I've noticed a little bit, I've looked a little bit on the kind of geographies of the crypto adoption, and it's quite surprising that actually in the countries where the Western assumption of the technological advancements the crypto adoption is much higher than we have in the Europe or in the North America.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think this is almost exactly, why I think the crypto thing can be something a lot different to what we think it is, you know. Of course, we've treated it as this, you know, crazy speculative investment tool, but really it's just the capacity to redesign money. And of course, where are the places where often they lack liquidity or lack access to normal means of exchange? You know, we work in Kakuma refugee camp, for example. We've shown that actually this cryptocurrency beach token could be a perfectly valid means of exchange in a refugee camp. You don't have to be a sort of crypto nerd necessarily to benefit from the Web3 space, as long as we design it with those people in mind. Because like you say, they're the ones who need access to digital access and digital inclusion.
Mm. Basically, Peach token is related to the blue economy, but could you explain a little bit what's the link there? How does the logic work?
Yeah, sure. So every single transaction, like I say, we take a fee, which is just less than the fee that Visa or MasterCard would take, and certainly less than the fee Amazon or Shopify would take. And we split those fees three ways. One third of the fee goes to Clean Oceans initiatives. So generally beach cleans, and you know, later we'll look at doing more kind of interesting recycling projects with that as well. The second third goes to blue carbon initiatives such as mangrove restoration project in Tanzania, for example. And then the third 33% of that fee goes towards us, so just so we can pay my salary and keep the lights on, etc. So that's the kind of ocean focus there. We recognize that the ocean is really our most powerful ally in the fight to tackle climate change, and yet it receives a paltry percentage of fees which go to sort of sustainability initiatives. Very little goes towards the ocean. And we think there's a huge opportunity there, and we sort of see ourselves as a way to bring more finance into the space in a kind of innovative way that really meets everybody's interests. We then, of course, have to create places where you can spend the currency, of course. And so we're working with a lot of ocean-friendly brands. And we just had a conversation with Effect, for example, who make footwear out of waste. And all of the brands that we work with, Ocean Bottle as well, are in some way, linked or affiliated to the health of the planet or the health of the oceans in particular.
Mm. The World Cleanup Day is something which are you aware of? It's a kind of Estonian-born initiative, which basically I think they do a lot of beach cleaning annually around the world. That's possibly also a good cooperation candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. We spoke to them a month or two ago, and hoping to partner up for this year's coming World Cleanup Day. We did a global cleanup on that day without even speaking last year, just because that's what we do. Yeah. But this year, hoping to collaborate and, you know, plan something together.
Mm, absolutely. There's a lot of initiatives related, also brands related to the sea. And I think then the kind of the general know-how of the sea challenge or the ocean challenge probably jumped a year or two ago when this Netflix documentary came out, which was tremendously popular. I don't remember, of course, the name from top of my head. You might remember.
Seaspiracy.
Exactly. That was probably the eye-opening moments for many, you know, young people around the world.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's probably also worth giving some credit to Ambassador Peter Thompson, the UN Oceans Ambassador. I mean, the UN Oceans Conference is only, I think, three years old. It's the third or fourth version. So that also is huge to have, you know, not just in terms of public awareness, but in terms of the actual way decisions are made, to have a dedicated Oceans Conference to realize how important it is. Yeah, there's no doubt that Seaspiracy massively moved the dial, particularly on ocean plastic and the problems with the industry, etc. It's the right time for a technology like ours.
Mm. How do you tackle the challenge of crypto? I mean, most people, especially these days, if you mention that you do something green and in the crypto related, they will probably go, green is good, but why on earth do you do anything with a crypto here? How do you challenge that kind of, maybe for many people, a mental challenge?
Yeah, totally. I mean, my background is in currency design, designing currencies for sustainability. The fact that we're a crypto is more or less irrelevant. We're just a currency. We're just another type of money in the same way, you know, I could use Moroccan dirham, but I can't use that in London, right? So we're just another currency. And I think if you kind of get that through to people, the fact that we happen to be based on a blockchain is a bit like saying, well, we use fax machines. It's like, okay, so what? It's just the technology underneath it. The fact that you're using a fax machine or you're using, you know, an email has nothing to do with the content of the message. And in the same way, the fact that something's based on a blockchain has nothing really to do with whether it's going to be a force for good or a force for bad in the world. You know, it's a bit like saying the internet is the force for good or bad. It's like, well, no, it depends how you use it, right?
Exactly.
So I think people kind of need to disentangle those two things in their mind. And there's certainly an education piece there as well. But there's no doubt that I think the crypto space has to look at itself. Because, I mean, basically what we've done is kind of much like we did with the internet, to be honest. This amazing new technology came about with revolutionary capabilities to change the way we create money and the way we build trust. And basically what we've done is just plugged in the same broken mindset and worldviews and basically said, woohoo, how can we make as much money as possible? And you know what? You can do that, but like that's just it's such a poor way to use this like technology with so much potential to improve humanity. So hopefully that will change over time. But of course, you know, the real battle is not inventing new technologies. The real battle is changing hearts and minds and worldviews. And that takes a different kind of innovation or revolution.
It takes a different kind of revolution. It often takes a different kind of time span also, because you know changing people's habits is probably the most difficult things to change.
Well, that's exactly it, and this is in fact focused on to a certain extent. Is we recognize that actually, if you want to change your habits or change your behaviors, there are all these forces in the world that are actually shaping and conditioning the way that we live individually and the way that we relate to each other collectively. And our money, the way our money is designed and the way our social media are designed, are very powerful forces in that. And at the moment, they are influencing and rewarding and incentivizing all the wrong kinds of behaviors. So yes, of course, the individual, you know, has a certain amount of power to choose how they act, and collectively have a certain amount of power to choose how we act. But we have to recognize that we are conditioned and we evolve in response to our environments and our contexts. The beautiful thing about being human, of course, is that we design our own contexts, we design our own environments. And I think when it comes to money and social media in particular, we need to be conscious about how we do that, because until we get there, of course, changing your behavior is going to be difficult. That's I think we have to almost give ourselves a certain amount of sympathy for that. And then, you know, be grown-ups about designing these powerful tools.
I'm wondering how to take a Beach Token to an average consumer when, he or she is paying probably with a credit card or debit card anyway. But if they have touched the money, it's their national, you know, currency in their hand. The kind of concept change in their mind that they would be paying for in something, you know, third. I mean, we have had some kind of, you know, Bitcoin payments, and Bitcoin is probably the only thing kind of outside the old money world which has reached some kind of point where many people understand that people can pay with it. But if you come to the market kind of with a new solution, new currency, what do you think is the kind of the key of actually, you know, breaking through that maybe mindset barrier of an average consumer?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, it is worth noting that, it's a long journey to gain generalized adoption of a new currency, right? So we have to be honest about how tall the mountain is there. But I think, to be honest, you know, the fintech revolutions of the last 10 years have kind of done half the mindset job for us. I mean, like you said, we used to pay with cash. I mean, in my lifetime, I paid entirely with cash when I was young, right? And suddenly, you know, you can pay with a card contactless, and now I can pay with my phone. So actually, people's understanding of how one can pay and what is constitute real money has already shifted a mile. I think in our case, it's really just a question of getting our currency into the hands of the people who care about the planet, care about the oceans. And we do that with our social media platform. Anybody who registers an action on Beach Action now will earn a Beach Token as a reward, as like an incentive for their action. So once you have it in people's wallets, or actually in their beach bag in this case, then of course people will look for ways to use it and look for ways to spend it. And that of course is down to us. And, you know, we're launching our beach shop in Q1. We've already got 10 or 12 brands signed up and growing all the time. And then the sort of second phase, or happening in conjunction with that, is to create what we call geographical hubs adoption. That is, pick an actual physical location or place, and then really work to create enough spending opportunities within a certain area. First and foremost amongst those will probably be in Lagos in Nigeria. We have a partner there who's building a mall out of discarded shipping containers. And wow. So they'll have bars, shops, restaurants, all that kind of stuff. And all of them will accept Beach Token as payment. And of course, the beauty of that is that it's on the beach, the development. And we can actually ring fence any of the transactions fees that we earn from those transactions. We can use them to clean the local beach and pay local people. There's a kind of inherent benefit or advantage if you're a jurisdiction or a place that wants to adopt Beach Token, because yes, we're going to keep all of the funds, local environmental initiatives and local employment.
Mm. But are you integrating it then to the payment cards, or how do people actually, you know, how do they actually will be paying then?
So they'll be paying with Beach Pay at the moment, which is this app I explained. That
the application. Okay, yes.
Yeah. So Beach Pay, you can send it back and forth. You don't need a crypto wallet. It's very low friction. It's very easy to use. You just need an email sign up. Of course, the end goal, the vision, is that I'll be able to pick up my phone just like I do Google Pay and go boop and pay just about anywhere. You know, eventually, we want to be able to integrate with Shopify. We want to be able to integrate with PayPal. We want to be able to integrate with people's websites, with card machines, you know, all the rest of it. But you have to get, you have to be, I think that, you know, the way that works is that you get so big that these people come to you. I think if I go to iZettle now and say, can we include Beach Token, then they'll probably say, you know, no.
If they bother to answer, right? That's exactly the challenge with the smaller companies.
But this kind of comes to the almost the whole point about what we're doing. At the moment, our entire economy is stuck on one set of rails.
Mm.
I can pay with Klarna, or I can pay with, you know, PayPal, or I can pay with whatever. But actually, we're kind of stuck on this one set of rails, and there are a certain amount of centralized gatekeepers who are creaming off all the profits. I mean, Visa or MasterCard take 1.5% of basically every transaction. For what? What are they doing? You know, they probably have about 5 employees just going like this. It's ridiculous. And I get that they're providing a valuable service, but you know, the technology's evolved to the point where we don't actually need them. But in order to break that kind of monopoly, we actually have to create a new set of rails, if nothing else, so that they up their game and start actually, you know, doing something good with all that money that they're making. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's definitely a long journey, but I think it's just very important to realize that just the design of our pounds and dollars themselves, the way they are, you know, created with debt and interest, itself fuels all of the environmental and inequality problems that we see around us, you know, from house price bubbles to everything. So there is no sort of solution to all our problems without going to the heart of redesigning what money is and how it operates. So I don't see a kind of other option. And even if that's a very, very ambitious goal, if you're at the bottom of a dark cave and you can only see one chink of light, where do you aim for, right? So exactly. It's got to be done.
Exactly. Looking forward in 2023, you mentioned in the Q1 the launch of the own shop. What are the next kind of challenges for you guys, or the bigger things, to milestones looking forward?
Yeah, so Beach Shop Q1 for sure. We're starting to sell CSR packages as well, because we have this network of small grassroots projects all over the world. I actually sponsored a beach clean with our partner in Kenya as a Christmas present for my sisters and my cousin, right? And it come with a nice personalized video saying Happy Christmas, Lucy and Laura and Sophie. You know, so you could start to see how we can use our network to actually package CSR offerings to companies or even to individuals. Mm. Kind of related to that as well is Beach Carbon, which we just received a $25,000 grant from Future Quest to develop also in Q1. That's basically a tool for small scale indigenous communities to mint their own carbon credits as NFTs, bypassing again all the kind of middlemen and gatekeepers that take all the value. And that will also allow individuals to, you know, offset their own individual carbon, or companies to offset their carbon footprint. And that will also be available in sort of Q1 as well. Then there's just, there's other things we'll launch down the line, a freelancer portal, for example. But I think those three things, the CSR packages, the carbon, beach carbon, and also integrating rewards into beach, so that any action anywhere can earn a reward. And those rewards will soon start to be sponsored by corporates as well. So, for example, you could put a plastic bottle on the beach, put a pin in the map, and you earn some beach token. But it might say, this beach token has been, reward has been sponsored by the bar down the road, which accepts it as payment, or by this online brand that is trying to market to you for whatever reason, right?
Or this bottle on this beach is a Coca-Cola bottle. Coca-Cola is happy to pay for it through the beach token for you to pick it up, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, the possibilities are limitless. And I think that's really the most exciting thing for me, is this integration between, you know, what do companies want, right? They want to look good and they want to have, you know, logo impressions. And, you know, what do people want? Well, they want clean beaches, and they maybe don't mind picking up the plastic. But, you know what? Mm. It'd be nice if you could get a dollar for your work as well. So exactly. You can just bring these two things together to get everybody what they want and change the landscape of incentives. So actually it's in your interest to recycle. Mm. It's in your interest to eat a vegetarian meal or whatever it is.
Mm. Good stuff, Rob. I hope your adventures will be successful. And thanks for joining us at this podcast.
Oh, thank you. My absolute pleasure.
Hey there, fabulous souls. I'm Stephanie Bakla-An.
And I'm Eden Alpert.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Unapologetically Fab.
Get ready to join us on an amazing and real journey as we dive into life after 40 and own it.
We're all about changing the narrative, leaning into who you are, and living a life by your own design.
Join us as we embrace life unapologetically and redefine success.
This is Unapologetically Fab,
an Electric Cast production.
See you there.
Electric Cast.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades, and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Electric Acid.